Blog Talk Radio.
And he was in the 50s and 60s TV program, What's My Line? Some people are still asking. And a great boxer, Gene Tunney, who fought with, I think his son, John Tunney, was senator from California, friend of the Kennedys. And a great opera singer, Bel Canto, and she was also founder of a New York opera company, Beverly Sills. It's her birthday today. Among the deaths, great English actor Donald Crisp. If you remember him as the colonel in the Charge of the Light Brigade, and it was also a movie where he played a Scottish priest. I think I forgot the name of it. I think Gregory Peck was also in that. Reverend James Brown, the preacher and singer, died today. Harold Hecht, the choreographer. Chester Bowles, U.S. ambassador during the Kennedy administration. So, I don't know who that is. I'm sorry. Let's see who else we have today. We're having a problem here. I don't know what it is. Also, among the events today, Richard Cromwell, the son of Oliver, he died. No, he resigned as Lord Protector, and then they brought back the Stuarts, James II. The first Roman Catholic priest was ordained here in America in 1793, Father Stephen Theodore Bodden. In 1810, Argentina declared its independence from Spain, and then, of course, we had Simon Bolivar, and Bolivia is named after him. Then we had in 1861, John Merryman had a famous habeas corpus case that went up before the U.S. Supreme Court, also known as SCOTUS. In 1870, the Irish Fenians, who were the forerunners of the Irish Republican Army, raided Quebec, Canada. In 1895, the great writer, Irish writer, who came to San Francisco, came to America, and they asked him what he had to declare. He said, "Only my genius." That didn't save him when he was busted and tried for sodomy in England, and he received 2 years prison sentence. It nearly broke him, but he wrote a great piece of writing called Ballad of Reading Jail. Then he died, I think, in Paris. He was also connected to Count and Captain Esterhazy, who was involved in the Captain Alfred Dreyfus case, where they rigged a letter claiming that Dreyfus was in contact and selling military secrets to the Germans after the Franco-Prussian War. And of course, Dreyfus was convicted and on this false evidence and shipped to Devil's Island, where he nearly killed him. There's more movies about the Dreyfus case than probably any other case of military injustice in the judicial system, the military judicial system of any country. I think there are 9 movies. 3 of them were made here in the United States. One, Gore Vidal wrote the script, and Jose Ferrer played Captain Dreyfus. An earlier one with Paul Muni, who played the author, Emile Zola, because my name is partially Zola, we're not related as far as I know, picked up the case, and it was a 1930s film which got an Academy Award, and Paul Muni starred in it. Paul Muni was the uncle of the conductor of the San Francisco Symphony, Michael Tilson Tomaszewski, or Thomas. They anglicized their name. We also had on his birthday, on the events today, Porfirio Diaz, one of the worst dictators in Mexico. He was overthrown in 1911. And then the U.S. Supreme Court overturned the ban on boxing matches between blacks and whites in Louisiana. They declared it unconstitutional. And in 1989, we had the so-called perestroika starting with Gorbachev, who became executive president of what remained of the Soviet Union. we're going to, since we see the movie War Horse, nobody's looking at the horses that the Germans used in World War II, the Wehrmacht, when their mechanized infantry got the oil got frozen in the engines, so they had to bring in horses from Germany to pull the cannon and try to pull the tanks and all the other equipment and wagons out of the Russian mud. These horses that they brought into Russia in the ill-fated Operation Barbarossa, these horses were show horses that were used for Oktoberfest and other festivals, some of the Teutonic festivals that the Nazis put on. And these poor horses were not in shape to deal with the Russian winter and to pull all these heavy loads and to be whipped to try to get the horses to move. And so what happened was these horses, they had heart attacks. And, of course, frozen, they didn't have food to eat. And, of course, after the horses died, the remains of the German army, the Wehrmacht, slaughtered, had the horse meat to eat. Now, Dietrich Fischer-Dieskau, one of the greatest singers in Germany's history, he died last week, and he was, like Pope Benedict, was drafted into the Wehrmacht. He was shipped to Russia, and fortunately, he was given the job of taking care of those horses. So to calm the horses and to treat them as humanely as possible, he sang to them. We'll have to play that one of the rare recordings on Monday when I'm doing something special on military personnel for Memorial Day, and we are memorializing all the military people who died in these stupid wars. Anyway, Dietrich Fischer-Dieskau sang to the horses. Then he was, fortunately for him, had he been captured by the Russians, he would have been shipped to the Siberia. And the German soldiers that were captured by the Russian army, Stalin had inflicted on them a 25-year sentence for crimes against the motherland in the Great Patriotic War, as it was known. And at Stalingrad, there were 100,000 German troops who were captured. And at the end of their 25-year sentence, only 10,000 survived. Horrible things had happened to them. And there's a famous German movie called As Fast as My Feet Will Carry Me, and it's about a German soldier who escaped from Siberia, and it took him 2 years to reach Iran. And fortunately, he was a junior officer, a lieutenant, and it's a great story, which is not well known in the United States, nor is the fact that Dietrich should discount and other German soldiers had their own war horse stories. Fischer Dieskau was transferred, fortunately, to Italy, where he was captured by the Americans. He was in a POW camp where he was singing, and the Americans realized they had a musical asset here, and so he was sent around the camps to sing. And after the war, when he was discharged from the POW camps, he started his career as a leader singer and went into opera and also symphony concerts. And a great singer, one of the greatest voices ever to come out of Germany in the whole history of German music. So we'll recognize him again, and also we'll play, if we have time, a memorial to him tonight. Among the other things, there's still the question, will Hillary replace Joe Biden as Obama's vice president? Of course, that's assuming that Mr. O will be reelected, and I think the Obama maladministration is worried because a lot of people, the charm is not there, and they're not going to be conned by change and blaming everything on the previous Bush administration. Also, I understand that Obama is going to use as his political theme forward. Now, that was used by both Stalin and Mao Tse-tung. During the 30s, we had the five-year plans in Joe Stalin's Russia, and of course Stalin trusted no one, and as soon as someone became too powerful or popular, he had them, the KGB took care of them, and usually there were show trials, notorious show trials in the 30s, and a lot of the Russian general staff was destroyed. And the ones that survived went to the gulags, and of course Marshal Rokossovsky was one of the famous Russian generals and field marshals who survived the gulags and these notorious show trials. Mao Tse-tung, after he succeeded in kicking Chiang Kai-shek over across the ocean to Formosa, Mao Tse-tung in the mid-50s started the Great Leap Forward, and it was a disaster for China, and it ended up being the Great Leap Backwards. And of course, now China has gotten their act together, although they still have money problems with their yuan, and the Chinese people now are longing for all the things that they've seen Westerners enjoy, like big Mercedes, Starbucks coffee, CDs, all of that. So we're going to see more coming out of China. As the great Napoleon said, why he didn't invade China, he said, let China sleep, for when she awakes, the world will tremble. Among the other scandals, you can go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmiCusVeritas, and see how the real estate that's been publicly subsidized by HUD and various foundations, This real estate has been hijacked by these poverty pimps of all races and all religions. And we even had the mullah, or the imam, who co-opted John Walker Lynn. This imam lives in Mill Valley. There's a lot of questions about what really happened to John Walker Lynn, a 17-year-old boy who had problems relating to his family, and allegedly, according to Newsweek magazine, he was homosexually seduced when he was a young teenager. And maybe that's one of the reasons why he ended up in Afghanistan. And of course now, because he was in the wrong place at the wrong time, he's sitting in a federal prison, I think down in Lompoc. But one of the most notorious scandals was that of Mary Rogers, who was a black a community activist, and she conned the San Francisco Redevelopment Agency, which was fully funded by your tax dollars through HUD, Housing and Urban Development, and she got a $1 a month house at 1866 Turk Street, which her kids turned into a crack house and a fencing operation, and they ran up water bills of $500 a month. That's just all irrefutably documented on our Amicus Veritas YouTube website. And, of course, in San Francisco, they name buildings and streets after the worst people. So they name a building after Mary Rogers, who's one of the biggest poverty pimps that ever lived in San Francisco. They even named they want to name a Navy ship after Harvey Milk. And already the critics are referring to the proposed gay love boat. Harvey Milk was one of those politicians from New York, carpetbagger. You know, in the daytime, he was a politician. At night, he was a predator. And he allegedly, according to police sources that I knew, harassed Dan White. And that's what triggered Dan White, no pun intended, to kill Harvey Milk and then George Moscone. George Moscone, the mayor, was also known in the police department as Turkey Legs because he allegedly liked black whores, even though he was married. So all these sleazy people. So what do? They name a school after George Moscone. It's on the site of the old KLW studios in John O'Connell High School, where I worked in the 80s. So these are some of the things that go on. And, of course, you won't see this published by the morons in the media. Also, we are putting up, it'll be up today, another Separated at Birth, the controversial Ross Mirkarimi, who was elected controversially sheriff of San Francisco, but he was deposed because, or removed, because he abused his wife, and there's some other abuse in his background and the background of his supporters. Well, anyway, I just happened to be surfing the TV one night, couldn't get to sleep, and up comes C-SPAN, which was started by Brian Lamb, who was a former U.S. Navy officer, naval officer, and the guy who was the host of that night was a guy who was a spitting image of Ross Mirkarimi, and so it's up on, it will be up on our YouTube site, Amicus Veritas, AmiCusVeritas, YouTube. And it's just amazing. The C-SPAN host is named Pedro Echevarria, and of course Ross Mirkarimi, and they're about the same age. And, they, and it's just remarkable the resemblance. And so maybe they were separated at birth. This is something that all politicians should realize, and these media people who support these politicians. And this is a clip from The Best Man, another Gore Vidal screenplay, which was made into a movie and now has been resuscitated on Broadway with James Jones, the great black actor who is in one of the title roles. But this is a clip from the movie The Best Man, when this is kind of apropos because Henry Fonda plays the Secretary of State who wants the, his party's nomination to be president, very similar to Hillary Clinton. And he's a weakling, as seen by this Harry Truman-type character who was a former president, and so who's played by Lee Tracy. So Lee Tracy chastises Henry Fonda, the Secretary of State, who wants to be president.
Finished. Now, I am here to tell you this. The power is not a toy that we give to good children. It's a weapon, and the strong man takes it and he uses it. And if you don't go down there and beat Joe Cantwell to the floor with this very dirty stick, then you've got no business in this big league. Because if you don't fight, this job is not for you. And it never will be. Finished. Now.
Now, this is very accurate advice because any politician or statesman, I prefer statesman, has to realize that power is something that you use and you should use it appropriately. Having been in and out of politics on the volunteer scale and doing work for politicians and would-be politicians and statesmen like George Christopher, I've seen all kinds of things in my nearly 50 years in and out of this field and going off and doing other things like polling. But these movies, I believe that art is true to life, and I'm going to stop that one. That art is true to life, and we can learn a lot from some of these films, especially the political ones. Another one is 7 Days in May, about a military attempted coup to take over the country with Frederick Mark and Burt Lancaster. Great movie. Another movie is Advise and Consent. It had also Charles Laughton, who plays a homophobic, even though Charles Laughton in real life was gay, a homophobic Southern senator. It had Walter Pidgeon, whose name has come up, who's a Canadian, who emigrated from Quebec, great voice that he had, and great, in some great movies. And he allegedly was in a book that has not come out about Hollywood stars who had another lifestyle at night, chasing young males. And his name came up. People had various aspects to their life and their career. That's the way I look at it. And sometimes you shouldn't try to throw stones because somebody might hurl boulders back at you. But these are things that happen in politics, and we don't know if people are being blackmailed, because one of the things that's come up is this term bipartisan, and some people have been cognoscenti have been focusing on the bi. It turns out there are these people who get caught up in this bipartisan coalition type of politics often have dirt that in their backgrounds that they're being blackmailed or lavender mailed, and so they go along even though, you know, against their better judgment, but to protect their image and to protect their careers, but they're not protecting the public. So excuse me, I'm losing my voice again. So we're going to end, and we'll be back, Money, with a special salute and a memorial to our military personnel. We'll end with our usual politics and poker. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice again. And of course, we were supposed to have rain today. And we will have a variety of excerpts from our many of our interviews, over 1,500, that we've done over the years. And we're going through the archives and a lot of this stuff. So here we go with politics and poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year. Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing. Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y? I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, better.
Politics and poker, shuffle up and cards and find the joker. He's a game for children, he's a game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet,
when to call a bluff.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paraphrase.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in. Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try like a Vanyachinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23. What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker! Politics and poker! Play for a pot! Let's be over!
Have a good night, folks, and we'll be back Monday at 4 o'clock, Memorial Day. Thanks for listening, and go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site.